Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Harrison. With me always is my co-host RJ Hines.
Cheese pizza, hold the cheese.
We're your in-house comedy gurus who talk about what is funny, why it's funny, and if your dog is smaller than a toaster, you don't even need to bother with lost dog signs.
Sparky is dead, yo.
He is gone.
Actually, if your dog's smaller than a toaster, it's probably named something like Fluffy or Mittens.
Or Turd.
Or Turdy.
I'm not good at naming dogs. I wanted to name our dog Barney.
That's the dumbest name for a dog.
No, that's
and
why I said I'm not good
at it. And an even worse name for a dinosaur.
And we ended on Hank.
Yeah.
Which is a really good name.
That's a good name.
Because it's like, maybe that's a person.
Yeah.
But no, it's just a little beagle with floppy ears.
My neighbor's dog is named Cheeky.
Yeah.
And that dog's the friggin' worst.
That's incorrect. Okay, today we're going to be talking about the legendary Bill Murray. He's iconic. He's almost transcendent of life.
Of life. Wow. That's good, because I thought we were going to be talking about dog names and which dog wouldn't
for the
be
rest
small.
Of the podcast?
Yeah. I was really getting...
So, big or small? Chipsy?
Flipsy.
No. Is this a big or a small dog? Chipsy?
Oh, Chipsy is about small to medium, yeah.
Horsey.
Well, I think it's in the name. Very large.
Kyle.
Nah, that's not a dog.
Big or small?
Well, it goes without saying.
Okay, but before we get into Bill Murray or dog names, who knows? It could go anyway. RJ is going to say some news, so we'll have at least something to offer as a benefit to your ears.
Let's give him something to bark about.
And that's comedy news.
Yeah. Who let the comedy out? Who raised the roof? Gosh,
it's just a comedy news medley?
Really letting the whiteness out today. So, got some fake news for you, coming from Netflix.
Ooh.
So, only adding to the incredible lineup of amazing stand-up specials coming soon, Netflix will be releasing Tracy Morgan's new act on May 16th, titled Stayin' Alive.
Oh, because of that Bee Gees song.
Stayin' Alive.
Also because he almost died.
That's true, in that car accident last year. It was really crazy for him, apparently. He says he's got a lot of new material on it.
On just that accident?
On just like a near-death experience.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
good for him.
I'm stoked. They really have got their bases covered. I mean, Chappelle's coming up with his new special. C-Rock, Seinfeld, Louis C.K. I don't know who else. I mean, these are the top dogs of comedy right now. I mean, the only other way to get big names is to resurrect Carlin from the grave. Like, if there's, I mean, they're really hunting these people down.
They have the cash.
Yeah, they do.
They could do it.
They really do. They're raking
it past them.
They got that Stranger Things money.
But good for T Morgs. I'm excited to see him up and you know, walking about. I feel like, you know, good on him. He needs it for his
health. We're waiting until May for that, but I feel like it was a few months ago I was reporting on the Dave Chappelle stand-up, mm-hmm. and here we are. He's going to be in March 21st, I think. Anyways, some other TV news. HBO just renewed Pete Holmes' Crashing show for a second season.
Excellent.
And it's good news if you like that show, which I happen to. If you guys have missed it, I think the first couple episodes are free on HBO Go. So even if you're like, I don't like that show, I never want to watch it, like, just watch the first episode. It's really cool. It's like about his life, basically, spoofing a lot of his stuff, but ultimately just like getting a divorce and trying to be a comic and crashing on various comedians' couches and learning a lot of life lessons along the way. So I love it. I think it's fun. And we're only like four episodes in right now. So got a full six more to go.
If you need to, go ahead and check out Pete Holmes' podcast. He has a podcast called You Made It Weird.
Yeah. Another great pod. have no affiliation with us whatsoever, but
no, but check them out.
Free plug. Go check them out.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? CBS, some more TV news for you. CBS ordered a Young Sheldon series as a spinoff of The Big Bang Theory. So the show is described as a Malcolm in the Middle that will follow a young 9-year-old Sheldon as he lives with his family in East Texas and goes to high school. Jim Parsons will narrate, Jon Favreau will direct the pilot. I put in my notes here for this specific news, all caps, SAD.
With an exclamation
with point. An exclamation point. I didn't know there was a demand for this.
Oh yeah, people eat that show up.
I know they eat the show up, but like young Sheldon, like I would be interested.
Well,
like,
this is just their poor attempt to keep money flowing.
I know that.
Do you know what I mean? Because yeah. That show's not going to last forever.
Yeah, you just slap like Jim Parsons' weird turtle face on a poster and like remember him? We could make him younger and live forever. It's like Malcolm in the Middle, but this kid's annoying as hell. I don't mind him as a character. Like, I think he's a really funny character, but like we've talked about on the show before. Like, I think Big Bang Theory is like the where comedy has died as a sitcom.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's funny because it's about nerds who are like super intelligent, but I feel like they've sucked the intelligence out of the comedy. There's no thought into it. It's just what like superhero can we name drop?
Well, like not even that. Like someone is sitting down on the couch, like. Eating some cereal and like Jim Parsons will walk in and be like I see you're having a little breakfast. It's not funny. He's literally eating breakfast. There's like why are we laughing at this? But it's like making like the laugh track tricks you and being like yeah that was a joke. No
that was an observation.
He literally just said what was going on. And now you're making it seem like it's a, I don't want to get
but
into
it. But
that's
what I'm saying. It's not intelligent. Like
no it's pass. So you know what, I'll give this the old college try. Watch a solid ep and see how it works.
What's
but
the college try,
you just give college a try. I'm pretty sure that's what that means.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know that was a thing. Everyone go ahead and give college a try.
Yeah,
no matter how old you are,
no matter how old, no matter how young, even if you're a young Sheldon in East Texas, just give it a college try.
All right, what other news do we have?
I'm out of news, man. I'm all out. Tank is empty.
Sucked him bone dry on the news.
Freaking weirdo.
Well, if that's it for the news, then we're getting into the best topic ever, Bill Murray. RJ, why don't you give us a little brief intro into who and what he has become?
Absolutely. So, at 23 years of age, Murray's brother invited him to be a part of a Second City improvisational troupe in their hometown of Chicago, where he would befriend the likes of Harold Ramis, John Belushi, Del Close, and John Candy. The next year, he and John Belushi joined the National Lampoon Radio Hour and moved to New York City, where Bill would eventually fill Chevy Chase's spot in the second season of Saturday Night Live in 1977. Since then, Murray has appeared in all kinds of comedic films. Highbrow, lowbrow, rom-com, dram-com, zom-com, animation stop-motion, ghost-bustin', and whatever the hell Osmosis Jones is. So for years to come, students of comedy will be unable to avoid the legend of Bill Murray.
And truly, truly, I say to thee, it is a legend. Like, somehow, I mean, obviously we're going to get into it, but this person, if we can even call him that, has like he's become something even more than just
a person,
an actor or a comic. Like you can't even say like, oh, Bill Murray, he's a comedian. Oh, Bill Murray, he's an actor. I mean, really, he is an actor. Like, but he's just so much more.
He is something funnier than just himself. Mm-hmm. Because when your existence in a film, TV show episode, or whatever is itself a joke, like.
Right.
What are you? Like, what does that mean? Love that.
That was a nice little tasty little tease. We're going to get a lot more into that stuff. But before we do, we have to answer the question, why is Bill Murray funny? Right? So let's get into this. Bill Murray is funny because he can provide the perfect amount of ironic detachment in any given role. No matter how many different styles of comedy he's in, he can still perfectly place the right amount of distance between himself and his character. His nonchalant, sarcastic commentary mixed with his ability to dive into an emotional rage gives us a familiar and unique experience every time we watch him perform.
He's so true.
Amazing.
Gosh, that's so loaded with little bits here and there. But, I mean, like we were just talking about his ability to just exist mm-hmm. and be like a joke wherever he's put into. I think that just comes from years and years of him being that like that distance between, oh, look it, I'm being a funny character, but also you can tell that I know what's going on as this character mm-hmm. and I'm almost making fun of what's happening in this movie, me being myself.
Right.
Which is kind of meta when you think about right. it. Very, I mean, he's one of the first people to really pull this off.
Yeah, and it's really incredible. I think because when we were first introduced to him, us as, you know, the general audience, obviously he's been in stuff before this, but SNL was his first right. big, you know, on the scene kind of stuff. And he's able to, you know, be all these different bits, but at the same time, you're like, you're learning who Bill Murray is mm-hmm, mm-hmm. because you get to punch in a little bit of your personality and flavor on SNL. And so from then on out, all these movies that he's in, mm-hmm. you're not going, oh, like, what a great job he did at becoming that character. You're going, oh my gosh, Bill Murray. Was this character.
Was like, this guy, yeah.
It's more like he's your friend that you know, right. and he's in this role.
Right, and that's such a good point, because you could think of, I mean, just for easy modern comparison, think of Ben Stiller, right?
Okay.
So he's Zoolander. Mm-hmm. That's not Ben Stiller, that is Zoolander. There's Derek Zoolander. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves Zoolander. Oh, have you seen Zoolander? Zoolander's so funny, you can do Blue Steel, blah, blah. But, like, when you talk about a Bill Murray movie, it isn't, oh, friggin' Frank Cross from Scrooged was funny. No, right. It was Bill Murray. Half of these names I have to, like, double check to remember what his name was in right. this movie. Like Groundhog Day, I forget his name because he was Bill Murray in it. You know what I mean?
Right.
In Caddyshack, Carl Spackler. No, he was mostly Bill Murray.
Right.
Although I'd say
probably his most famous name is Steve Zissou.
Yeah, and that's just because Zissou is the craziest last name ever written. So SNL, what I loved a lot about his stuff on SNL is it's just early SNL stuff, which is all you know, they were running with their hands cut off almost. Does that make sense? Heads cut off, not hands. Like, they got to just...
They had their head and their hands cut off.
Yeah, they got to make up everything as they went. Like, what does sketch comedy work well with? Like, in the 1970s, like, in America, I love these early seasons of SNL. I would love to do a whole episode dedicated just even season one.
Yeah, right.
But if you compare... Bill Murray next to like Steve Martin, Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, Jim Belushi, who were all part of that early few years.
Yeah.
They've got some killer characters. And Bill Murray, like when you think of it, I don't even know if he has a best of DVD.
Right.
Because he held his own for sure. And mm-hmm. he's an amazing, amazing performer. But his ad-libs, right? That's some of the stuff that if you look at his old sketches, it seems like he's just pulling this stuff out of nowhere.
Which a lot of times he is.
Which a lot of times he is. And that's that like distance we're talking about. Because like, is this written? Because it's really good, but it sounds like he's making it up. Like, I'm thinking of the Star Wars song.
Right.
It's amazing. He does the Nick, the lounge singer, mm-hmm. which you've never heard of him. I know, Ben, you have, but for folks at home who've never heard Nick, yeah. the lounge singer, basically it's this guy who could be anywhere, just like sleazy lounge singer, who will just sing like stupid pop hits. It was like the early groundworks to Will Ferrell's Robert Goulet.
Yes, perfect.
I like it when you call me Big Papa.
I was actually going to make that connection when you were talking about modern day. I feel like Will Ferrell is a good, almost comparable person mm-hmm. because Will Ferrell has a lot of times where it's like, what? Will Ferrell's in this? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
where it's like, maybe his character doesn't even have a ton of role or lines, mm-hmm. but all of a sudden you're like, what? I didn't know Will Ferrell was in, you know, Wedding Crashers, or, you know, like, he just pop up and then get killed right away. Like, yeah. in, I'm thinking of Last Man on Earth.
Yeah.
Like, what? That's awesome. Like, where did that come from? But that's very Bill Murray, where it's like, this is only funny because it's Bill Murray.
Right.
It's only
right.
funny because it's
Will I will
Ferrell.
Say, though, that I don't know if Will Ferrell has yet achieved
definitely.
The same status, but you're right. That's,
we're mid Will Ferrell career.
Yeah. Will Ferrell is, like, at the Space Jam of Bill Murray's career. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. So,
like
soon
now
him
you're
and
seeing
LeBron
more,
are going to do a movie.
Yeah, you're seeing more Will Ferrell's, like, oh, I get it, because it's Will Ferrell, mm-hmm. and he's just in this beer commercial.
Yeah.
But
let's give a little history. This is just very specific on season one, season two of SNL.
Yeah.
This is something I wanted to say, is just that Bill Murray is, like, he's less of, like, you remember, you know, characters of those other guys you were
right.
saying. You don't really remember specific characters, but you do remember Bill Murray was this presence, right?
Right.
He was a very big presence. And that had a lot to do with the fact that season one, they had Chevy Chase.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, Chevy Chase was like, you know what? I'm better than this. I'm out. Right?
Later.
So he pieces out and they're like, you know, what are we going to do? This was like our heavy hitter. And then in comes Bill. And it was like, you know, praise the Lord, we're saved. Because mm-hmm. not necessarily because he's going to come in and do the news like Chevy Chase was doing, or have the same characters, but just fill a void with his presence.
Right, right. And he was already so familiar with so much of the cast, like Gilda Radner,
sure, yeah,
Jim
yeah.
Belushi.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was an easy pick. For them to pull him up, but I totally got, we got side tangent off Nick the Lounge Singer. This is his iconic bit,
right.
where he sings like random songs, like to random tunes,
mm-hmm.
like "Staying Alive, Staying Alive." Mm-hmm. I was basically doing Nick the Lounge Singer earlier when I was talking about whatever.
Yeah. But the bet is he keeps going back to the fact that wherever he's working is like, he keeps throwing that in. It's like, this is just a cheap mountain ski lodge and I'm here, Star Wars.
Like it's, here's a good song for you. And he put words to Star Wars.
Right.
And I'm assuming
to
it was
Broadway.
Written. Yeah.
The song is called Broadway and he changes it to Star Wars.
Are you sure?
Yeah, yeah. Because it's
the Star Wars theme.
Well, no.
It sounds like Broadway, but I'm pretty sure like Paul Schaefer's playing Star Wars.
Well, at points he like peppers in the theme, like, kind of notes and tunes.
Okay.
But the overall song is on Broadway.
You're right. He's kind of singing it like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're the music guy. I just am an idiot who thinks he knows music. So, but yeah, I mean, the best part about the Star Wars song, though, is he's mostly singing about, like, the idea of a Star War. Don't stop those Star Wars. I love the Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, he's just talking about, like, not even the movie so much.
But the whole thing, it's hard to even give that bit of focus, because the whole thing is, like, he's having a conversation with the audience.
Yeah.
But never stops singing. He's like, hey, how you doing? You liking the beef? Star Wars.
Exactly.
Hey, we're up here at the mountain ski lodge. Nothing. Like, he's just going.
He's just a goofy lounge
singer.
Yeah,
it's just totally just, like, moving.
Yeah. And based on the success he had on SNL for those, I think, 3 years he was on, he was able to land a lot of roles working with Harold mm-hmm. Ramis.
Yeah.
Especially in movies like Caddyshack and Ghostbusters and Scrooged, all of which
the 80s were big for him.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know if Harold Ramis wrote Scrooge. I know he wrote
Ghostbusters
though.
Caddyshack.
So yeah, Caddyshack I think is interesting because he's like one of his most unique characters. He's kind of got like a weird lip thing going off the side of his face, and he's kind of got like a squinty eye, and he's obsessed with killing these groundhogs. If you haven't seen this movie, it's probably because you weren't a teenager in the 80s.
Yeah.
But like, it's like the Happy Gilmore for junior high boys of the 80s. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Because it's juvenile, it's stupid, and he plays a kooky character. It's very lowbrow, but again, a modern classic, like, for comedy anyways. Mm-hmm. A lot of silly stuff in there. And great cast.
Yeah, you got, what's his name? Dangerfield, Rodney. I get no respect.
That's my best. It's literally...
Whenever I do it, I have to pull on my collar. Ooh, it's getting hot in here. I'm getting no respect.
No respect. Rodney, lots of people respect you. You're a billionaire. Every time Rodney, like, walks in on a scene, I swear, they're just like, all right, Rodney, like, say whatever you want. Like, he just walks in like, hey, when did you die, huh? Golly, you ride a dinosaur here? Oh, boy.
He's look at this broad.
Yeah, making fun of people. Like, yeah. Anyways, so he's like, Bill Murray is this character who really doesn't have a lot of interaction with many other characters, except for one scene with Chevy Chase, which apparently they had to like force him to do.
Oh, gosh. Because
they kind of have like a feud, don't want to get into it. They got in a fight on SNL. Whoa, let's go there. Yeah. So anyways, he's like just obsessed with killing squirrels. He's like does all these inner monologues by himself. Mm-hmm. And I think you told me, doesn't he like improvise like a majority of his lines?
Yeah, almost every single one of his lines were like completely improvised by him with like very little direction from Harold.
That's insane to me, but also completely believable.
Plausible, yeah, oh yeah.
Because like I said, we already know from SNL that he can just whip stuff up. And then now in Caddyshack, he's monologuing about like the death of these groundhogs while he's like making like makeshift explosives that look like groundhogs. Mm-hmm. And he's,
I think for me, the crux of it all is his little monologue about the Dalai Lama.
And he's like, under the Lama.
He's got the droop lip. He's like, so, it was, you know, what does he say? He's like, I was one of them, you know, jockeys, you know, I was out there. I'm a professional jockey. And who do I get paired with? I get the Lama. The Dalai Lama.
Well, some of the Lama.
All of it, it's like, yeah, it's this brilliant little speech. And it all comes down to the fact that the Dalai Lama has not paid him, but granted him all consciousness on his deathbed. And, then,
like
and then it's like, yeah, he's just
so
like,
I got that going for
yeah,
me.
Just a little bit of a pause, like perfect amount of timing. And he's just like nodding his head. So I got that going for me.
Which
like,
is great because that's
like, why he told the story.
That's such like a Murray, like that is Bill Murray saying, so I got that going for me. That's not like a whatever weirdo Carl character. Ghostbusters is very vintage Murray.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's just, you don't believe he's a doctor.
Right. Another perfect example of, okay, so there's actors that are very bit role actors. Oh, I wanted to make this connection. Nicolas Cage in any movie is whatever character he is, but also it's Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, still a Declaration of Independence.
In a very bad way, it's still Nicolas Cage because him as a person, like he brings that into his characters and it's just like, oh, we gotta steal. Like, it's just, you never can fully take him seriously.
The Beast! Yeah.
So, Bill Murray has the same thing, but Bill Murray is not a bit actor. He's not like a one note actor. He actually has a big dynamic range of acting.
He's a symphony, yeah.
But at the same time, that's why I feel like there's this, well, like we talked about in Why It's Funny, there's this really, really beautiful little marriage of unique and similar for every role.
Yes, absolutely. There's a familiarity. Like, you can watch all these films, especially Ghostbusters. You're like, oh, it's the Bill Murray I love.
Right.
But also, it's very specific, like, like just a hairpin specific of who Dr. Venkman is.
Right.
You know?
You look at that character and you're like, oh, he's just being Bill Murray.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that role is totally unique.
Yeah.
And yeah. But it's at the same time, it's super sarcastic, and he's always got the one-liners. Like, what does he say about, everyone's freaking out. They're like, imagine the whole universe is turned inside out and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, dogs and cats are together. It'll be the end of the world.
Yeah. Or like, they're like in the elevator and he goes, why weren't each of us is wearing an unlicensed nuclear accelerator on his back? Like that is so, might as well be ad-libbed. Like he's
just, or when what's her name?
Zool.
No. What's the actress's name?
Oh, Alien.
Winona Ryder.
No.
Glenn Close.
No.
Monica Lewinsky.
Oh my God. No.
Shoot. I keep wanting to say Winona Ryder.
Ripley?
Yeah, no, that's from,
I know.
Shoot. That's her other role in Aliens.
Oh my gosh, I hate it when this happens.
Let me just pause and think about it for 2 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick technical break. Sigourney Weaver. Sigourney Weaver's character is turned into a demon and cut to Bill Murray, and he just takes a little bit of a beat and goes, so she's a bit of a dog.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Like, that's your reaction to your girlfriend getting turned into a demon.
Yeah, or like when they first see the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, he's like, okay, so he's a sailor, he's just gotten to the city, like, we invited some ladies and some drinks, like, he's, it's so sly, so quick,
so good.
And I love that in the movie, no one really engages him on these comments, so he's kind of like the Chandler Bing of the Ghostbusters universe.
Saying
like,
things.
He can just say things and, like, cue the laugh track, except it's not, it's just silence.
Except for it's real laughter coming from you.
Yeah, coming from my mouth, yeah. Which, if you think about it, like, there's a lot of that. Like I want to make this point. Sarcasm is, at best, like, when it's done right, some of the funniest things ever. But 90% of the people who do sarcasm... Oh, that's the biggest house I've ever seen. You must pay like $1 million a month for it. It's like, shut up, bro. Like, that's dumb. I think that's, I'm going to give full credit. Pete Holmes talks about that all the time, about how he hates sarcasm. And I totally, totally agree. Like, you're like in the fifth grade and you think that you can just be like, oh man, our teacher's super cool, right? Whoa.
Totally.
It's like, shut up. You're not funny. Like, you can barely make an observation and then turn it upside down. Like,
for sure.
Ugh. Okay, side tangent over. Done being triggered. Let's go on to Scrooge. Christmas classic. You watch
but that's,
it, I watch
that's
it.
That's the thing, though, is Bill Murray rides that line because he is very sarcastic, but it's very silly. It's not like he's ever taking himself serious.
Absolutely, yeah. And the best is, it's his sarcasm, but you can never quite distinguish if it's that character, like Dr. Venkman, actually saying, wow, what a ridiculous situation I'm in. Or is it Bill Murray in that position looking around at the stupidness of this movie and being like, this is all bogus. Like, I either way, it's funny. And that's like that really, really good sarcasm. Scrooged 88. What do you got to say, Ben?
Honestly, I only saw this once, and so I don't remember a ton. I feel like I remember him being the same-ish character of...
You're spot on.
Cares about the... Like, he cares only about himself. It's the Christmas Story, right?
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to point out was this is the Christmas Carol.
The Christmas
Carol. A Christmas Carol. What's his name?
Scrooge.
Chucky Dickens.
Good was old Chucky Dick
should have written this should have written this story for a Bill Murray kind of sarcastic character, not like a old curmudgeon like, I'll never give you a Christmas bonus, you're gonna work on Christmas Eve, damn it. Like, no, like, of course he's gonna learn a lesson, but a Bill Murray sarcastic billionaire is gonna be like, hey, I don't give two damns about this, like, what, you gonna teach me a lesson about my past? Yeah, no, not gonna happen, buddy, see you later. Like, that's the character we want to see transform.
Yeah,
not like this guy who's obviously wrong.
If this show was Pee Wee Herman, curmudgeon would be like the $1 million.
Ah, it's the word of the day. Woo!
I love that stupid word.
That's what we should incorporate.
I call
in
my wife
show.
A curmudgeon all the time.
I don't know how we could do this. Perhaps the episode before we say next week's word of the day is like silly putty, like something ridiculous.
And then if it comes,
and then it just comes up, and we just lose our minds. Like, we'll get a siren and everything.
Sounds good.
I'm going to write that down.
Okay. So, another super classic.
Of the
he's really writing it down. What About Bob, 1991.
What about him, man? That is my gosh. So good. And this is another one that's, it's not exactly Bill Murray being sarcastic Bill Murray again. He's this aloof kind of a character that's like weirdly optimistically... joyful, closer to Caddyshack than Ghostbusters, certainly.
Perfectly neurotic is how I would describe him.
Yeah, that's really
like
good.
just totally, you know, his character is just incapable of getting past himself, but at the same time completely blind to the fact that he's okay.
Yeah.
Like, he's totally okay, and so he's become so attached to his therapist that he's, you know, chased him down on vacation. And what's his name? Elaine's dad, Dreyfus. Something Dreyfus.
Richard
Dreyfus does an amazing job.
Oh, yeah.
As the therapist who's just like, oh, like, honestly, for me, that movie hinges on him. I mean, Bill Murray does an amazing job and owns that character of just like.
But the yin yang with Richard Dreyfus is perfect.
When he. This is. Everyone in my family knows exactly what I'm about to say. When he loses his mind and like starts to drive him to the mental institution, he drives and then something happens where he's forced to stop the car.
Mm-hmm.
He slams on the brakes. And then he gets out, comes to the other side, and Bill Murray's just like looking around. And he opens the door and he doesn't even say intelligible words, but he's saying, "Get out of the car." He just goes, we lose it at that point every time because Bill has done such a good job of creating massive amounts of tension between him and the family. The family loves him. The therapist hates him. Oh my gosh, that movie is just gold.
Oh, Faye, this is so scrumptious. Is this hand shucked? Just that word, hand shucked.
I sail.
Oh my gosh.
So good.
And I mean, we kind of talked about this with Ferris Bueller last week, but just the ability to capture really good performances that are funny every time because that tension buildup is so good that it's just like, oh my gosh, like I'm so bought in on this.
Believable characters can support a plot that it doesn't make any sense. Not doesn't make any sense, but is unbelievable.
I mean, that's Caddyshack to a T.
Exactly.
Terrible plot. Dumbest plot ever. Basically no plot.
Oh, yes. Okay, I see what you're saying. I thought you were saying the opposite of what I was saying, but you said the same thing I was saying, which is probably smart. but yes, What About Bob? Classic. Another classic is Groundhog's Day, where he just kind of owns that entire movie.
I got you, babe.
Oh, no.
I got you, babe.
We're just going to hit repeat on the podcast and just play this part over and over again.
That's just so good. We should do a whole episode on this movie.
For sure.
Just because it's more than just a comedy. Like, it is such a good philosophical, existential narrative.
And space and
like
what is
love and humanity, like, but like it's not very sad because like he could kill himself but like go back to life, but like tune in next week on Avoiding Sadness when we're like, don't cry because it's like not a big deal. Oh wow, side rant. Anyways, I mean, this is so classic, and I mean, I read an article where they did the math and he apparently is stuck in this loop for the equivalent of 34 years. He lives Groundhog Day for 34 years.
Wow. How did they scientifically get that?
Someone looked at like, okay, so these are the clues.
Oh.
Sometimes it's like, yeah, it takes you six and a half months to play piano or throw the cards or whatever. Or he died this many times or this many times where it showed him dying.
Uh-huh.
Or this many times where it showed him like doing a certain thing.
Sure.
They just put it all together, added that up as if it were days.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it refers to months or for years. And they got 34 years.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah, because he's like, at the end, what? He's like a professional piano player.
He speaks nuts. Like three different languages.
Yeah, yeah.
He knows every person's backstory. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's so insane to me, but so cool at the same time. But he is still very much like the Bill Murray. Like, I think this is where, what is this, 1993 at this point? Like, he is iconic as a staple. Like, people know the name and they know what kind of stuff he can do, so which makes, you know, the 1996 appearance in Space Jam, I think this is where we begin to see like his transcendence into iconography or legendariness.
Legend
of old. Because Bill Murray in Space Jam, they don't even try to sugarcoat it. He's Bill Murray,
right?
And he's spoofing himself.
We totally talked about this in our Space Jam episode.
We spent like 20 minutes talking about it.
But yeah, we said the part where he's like, where Daffy Duck's like, wait, how did you get here? And he's like, oh, I know the director. The Teamster.
Oh, the director's a friend of mine. Had a Teamster drive me down here. Like,
like what? No. What?
He ad-libs every single line. He literally walks into the stadium going, da 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 da. Like, he's the best and he knows it. But
this
also,
is a Groundhog's Day because I'm pretty sure you said those same exact things on our Space Jam episode.
I got you, babe.
I did forget to say my favorite part of Groundhog's Day, which is the tension between him and the guy that he like knew and grew up with. And then it builds to the part where it's just Phil, Ned, and he punches him in the face.
So you go to the Olympics with that belly button thing or what?
Oh, so good. Oh my gosh. So yeah, now we've gone to the Life Aquatic.
Which that's a huge jump. 1986 to 2004.
Isn't Rushmore in between there?
Yeah, Rushmore is when he first starts working with Wes Anderson and dips his feet into the dry, alternative comedy. Wes Anderson's in a league of his own as far as comedy goes, and not like ahead of everyone else, but just to the side. Like, he's just in a different universe of comedy. We can get into that later.
I'm putting quotes on whatever RJ says about
that's
Wes
fine
Anderson.
I love a lot of Wes Anderson comedy. I'll defend him to the day I die. But so Bill, you know, follows the Wes Anderson train. He's like in all of his movies now, but one of the best where he's the main role is Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. And this is so a different take on his like sarcastic dry, because he's a little melodramatic, like a little like rundown, weary. He's got the white beard. He's kind of over life. I mean, there's so much of this story that is almost like, I think Bill chose this because it's a lot of like how his journey has been in his life and his career. Because I mean, think about it, 2004. Like, he's done so much already. He's kind of at this point, I feel like he's communicating, I am, in a lot of ways, a relic of old, and I'm trying to regain some of that again. And I think he has, certainly, but just him being able to communicate that in this film is so transparent. I love that. Even in all his sarcasm, just trying to get the dolphins to do what he wants, and they just won't listen. Either they won't listen, or they just are trying to ignore us. I can't tell. Son of a bitch. I'm sick of these dolphins. Like, he's just so bummed. And, you know, I just love the scene where he goes Rambo. He goes, like, Captain Phillips on everybody and just starts, like, busting caps and goes crazy on the Somalian pirates.
Like, that just seems to me like Bill Murray was just fed up. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. So, again, a very similar, like, Bill Murray-esque role, but I think in true, like, it was written for Bill Murray.
Right.
So, I mean, a lot of these films are RJ, you dummy. But
you're not dumb. You're smart. Blah, blah, blah.
I don't know. Anyways.
You don't know if you're smart?
I don't know if I'm smart.
Okay. Well, so we just talked about Space Jam, you know, kind of the beginning of him being able to spoof himself. Well, now we've perfected that in the film Zombieland.
Oh, totally. This is right? And again, so we got like a 20-year jump. No, 10-year jump. Like maybe 15-year jump. Space Jam was 1996. Zombieland was 2009. So in that span, I think audiences agree enough so that when a director and writer put him in a film and say, okay, so the joke is you're Bill Murray. And
everybody gets it.
In the movie that's a fictional movie. Like, he's like, okay, I'm on board.
Yeah.
And I love that. He even spoofs himself, like spoofing himself at this point.
Right.
When, like, he gets shot because the girl thinks he's a real zombie. Like, do you have any regrets? Garfield.
Garfield, maybe.
Garfield, maybe. So, which is so great because that's definitely something
he dies for, like,
5 minutes.
It's like, buh. So good.
Oh.
But even oh my gosh, how meta is this? In the movie of him spoofing himself, the character that, what's the tiny guy's
Woody
name?
Woody Harrelson?
Woody Harrelson plays is a massive fan of Bill Murray, which is what we all are in real life. Like, it's so good. They just took those characters and said, okay, you're going to act like you would be meeting Bill Murray in real life.
Well, and I think he's like, you don't know who Bill Murray is?
I know, right?
Are you kidding me? Like, and that's just, I think that is a testament of where he was in 2009 as far as status and celebrity. You know, he is like, he's the Tom Hanks of twisted comedy. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
For sure.
If Tom Hanks is good guy comedy, he's like twisted, sarcastic, dark comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that.
I think as the internet grew, the legend of Bill grew. Because as, like, I don't know, I just feel like there's always those stories online of, like, just a random, like, oh, yeah, Bill Murray showed up at a bachelor party. Bill Murray stole a French fry from someone and said, nobody will ever believe you.
Yeah.
Like, all of these totally outlandish stuff.
Weddings.
Like, are starting to come up. Yeah, he's crashing weddings. He's, like, he was reading poetry at some, like, building. Like, he just shows up and does this stuff. Like, he's able to get away with this stuff. And that has like, totally lended to the fact that he is this legend.
Yeah.
Who knows if any of it is true, or all of it is true, or none of it is true.
And I really want to jump into that more. I just want to cap off, like, his filmography here with St. Vincent, just from a couple years ago in 2014. This was such a good role for him, and it really shows, like, so much of his range. Sarcastic, dry, energized, loving, caring, like, heartfelt. I personally, I'm a big Bill Murray fan. I think St. Vincent encapsulates all the best qualities of Bill Murray as an actor and as a comedian. And so high recommendation.
He's also opposite Melissa McCarthy in there.
Yeah, and she's not
a big hitter.
Yeah, and she's, what's funny is, like, her role is not like the classic, like, who put these bananas on the stairwell? Whoa! Like, she is, sorry about the spike there.
You're fine.
She's not, like, doing crazy Melissa McCarthy stuff. Like, she's very level-headed, too. It's a very, like, even keel kind of a film.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. My ears are bleeding.
Yeah, sorry. Melissa McCarthy fell down a stairwell. I don't know if you caught that.
That was her.
Too many bananas. many banana peels.
There's no stairs here.
Then what? Whoa!
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, like, the philosophy of Bill Murray, right?
Yeah.
How has he reached this legend status?
And there's a lot of different theories, articles, people, backstories. I have a whole book on Bill Murray and his life. I think it's this weird blend of, like, him, like, caring versus, like, not caring.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like,
the coolest kid in school is always the kid who doesn't think he's cool.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You can't be cool if you think you're cool.
Yeah, because then you're, yeah.
You're not cool. That's not cool. But he's the ultimate, like, don't care about what you think. Like, I'm just going to do what I want to do.
And I don't know if he got there eventually. Because, like, he always kind of had, like, that bad boy, like, whatever, Bill Murray, like, kind of attitude. But, you know, in the late 80s, 90s, like, I think he just started, like, you know, whether it was some kind of spiritual guidance or whatever, you know, mentors, friendships, everyone grows and learns. He's developed, like, this kind of, you know what, I'm going to do the things I want to do, and if an event comes my way, like, I'm going to jump on board and be fully invested. And that's why you see, like you were saying, those stories where he just shows up at a wedding, like, oh, I'm here at this wedding, I want to be fully in this.
Yeah.
And I think you see that in his acting. Like, he is, like, fully there, fully aware, and balancing between that, like, I'm not, like, in my mind, and I'm not, like, in the external, in my surroundings. I'm somewhere here in between, and that's what gives us watching this performance, like, such, like, a, okay, like, he's sarcastic, but, like, is the character being sarcastic, or is it, like, Bill Murray being sarcastic, or, like, is this Bill Murray, or is this a character? Like, what is this?
Right.
Because he seems like he's this person almost all the time, which is, like, very transcendent kind of talk, but I don't know.
I watched a bunch of interviews, like, him on Charlie Rose, just other different interviews, and he talks about, yeah, like, just taking, like, stepping into the fullness of life and just not missing life, being present,
yeah.
Which sounds so, like, hashtag be present,
yeah.
Which sounds like a you know, cheesy thing, but the way he talks about it, it's like, just, you know, experiencing every part of life as you and in your honest version of yourself.
Yeah, and I think that's what has led to his celebrity status. So when you're able to pull off a character or a role that just seems as though, like, hey, I'm just happy to be here, or, like, I'm just trying to be, like, you know, the most realistic commentary for what's happening in my mind and outside of it, you begin to if you continuously do that, you begin to be the poster child for like, oh, get it? This is all a game. This is all a joke. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how he ends up being like that corpse mayor in Parks and Rec.
Yes.
He doesn't say a word. It's just his face. Just his face in that open casket. And that's like, and that to me says, don't you get it? Like, this is all just a joke. This is all a game. It's me. It's right. Bill Murray. I'm dead. It's hilarious. and that's because he spent years and years and years doing that amazing balancing act, which is, I don't really have a lot of experience with that or trying to compare that to somebody. I couldn't even think of somebody right. that does that. It's very weird. I mean, this is, there's other people who have theories like this. Wisecracks made a video about this. We'll put it in the link, but I mean, put the link in the description.
Another big part of Bill before we get into wacky facts, is, you know, he's also this legitimate actor, like of the movie, Lost in Translation.
Oh yeah.
This, you know, not a funny movie by any stretch, but also he, similar to Robin Williams, is able to deliver like an authentic performance.
Totally.
I don't think he has the same amount of accolades.
No, he has some accolades, which is weird. He's not Mr. Primetime. Like, he's not, I don't think he, especially,
but yeah,
having worked with the people who he's worked with in the last 10 years, he's not interested in like the name and lights, like come and see me on Broadway kind of Bill right. Murray guy. Like, he's like, no, I'm going to go with something that I feel like I want to work with. I want to work with real artists who want to do real things.
Mm-hmm. And we totally address that in, you know, just talking about his personal life stuff, like the fact that he doesn't have an agent. Yeah. He just has an 800 number that you just call and like give a pitch.
Yeah.
And maybe he'll check it if he's feeling the weather. Yeah. Like, it's just the kind of stuff that, like, you know, like traditionally people care more about that kind of stuff. And I could see Bill Murray. I don't know if he's ever been to any award shows or stuff, but like, I could just see him, you know, being like, I'll go if it's something that I'm like wanting to.
Yeah. I think I was going to go up to the Swiss Alps that weekend, but, sure. You know, if I'm free, I could pop on over to the Golden Globes. Good grief.
Classic.
Ugh.
Is that all we got for Bill?
Honestly, I mean, we've talked so much about him already. I feel like we keep going, but, you know, we'll just have to save some of these amazing movies for, sure. for a whole entire episode.
Yeah, it's good classic stuff. Well, you know what that means. It's time for
Word of the Day.
Oh, let's try that again. That's the temperature I like. It's Ben's Wacky Facts. This is the part of the show where I say some wacky facts and RJ rates them on a baseball field.
I think we're back at it again at Wrigley.
Back at it again with the white Vans.
No, I'm not kidding you. Last week we were at Wrigley because Chicago. Oh, Ferris Chicago. Bueller, and also, Bill Murray's a huge Cubbies fan from Chicago.
He is. That's one of the facts. So you just said fact number one.
Da-com.
Just kidding. Here's fact number one. Bill Murray himself admits to signing on to the movie Garfield because he thought it was a Coen Brothers movie. The famed writer and directors of The Big Lebowski, No Country for Old Men. He thought they were making the film. Only later did he realize Joel Coen is spelled with an H.
Bum, bum, bum.
And not those people.
Spelling error fail.
Zing. It's probably because he's got that 800 number. He's not. You can't spell.
Hey, this is Joel Coen. Watch for the Garfield movie. Oh, sweet. Coen Bros. I'm in. You know, I'd buy that if he didn't do a sequel.
Because he did Garfield 2?
He did, yeah, Tale of Two Kitties.
That's a very easy answer.
The stupidest thing ever.
Guilt.
Yeah. Probably money, too.
Oh, money and guilt.
Hey, we know you didn't like the first one, but here's $3 million. How does that sound? Sounds great.
I'll Garfield!
Phone it in.
Mondays.
I'll put on the little morph suit with ping pong balls, dancing around. All right, it's easy. So you got Bill Murray in the ping pong ball blue suit up to bat, Wrigley Stadium. You got Joel and Ethan Coen at the pitcher's mound.
Both
holding hands and both throwing a ball at the same time.
Are they holding the same hands as the throwing ball hand, or are they holding?
No, so Joel is right-handed and Ethan is left-handed, and they're holding left and right hand.
Okay.
So they both throw at the same time.
Got it.
But of course, morph suit Bill Murray has got a sweet swing. Boom, hits it. It's going straight for the green wall, and the balls collide together and bounce one out of bounds and the other one into a catcher's mitt. And the ref goes,
okay, boys.
Wait, so there is two balls?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I thought we were throwing one ball.
No, it's two balls, yo.
Okay.
Had to start over again. No, Joel and Ethan.
Groundhog Day.
I got you, babe. Okay.
Okay.
So, basically, it's a triple. The ref ruled a triple.
Got it.
If the balls hit each other midair, one bounces in the glove, one bounces out of bounds, it's automatic triple.
I did not know that.
Very wacky.
Here we go. Here's wacky fact number two. His character in the movie Kingpin, Ernie McCracken, bowls three straight strikes in the final showdown, also known as a turkey.
Gobble.
Bill Murray himself actually accomplished this feat. The crowd's response is a genuine reaction to the actor's surprising skill.
Wow.
He's not a scratch bowler.
That's awesome. I had no idea. Dang. I love that movie, too. Oh, gosh, we could talk about any of these.
Like, movie magic is a thing that we know exists.
Oh,
where you could bowl a million times and they could make it look like you just did three.
Yeah.
But Bill Murray... It's just, he's that guy. He's the guy.
He's just perfectly zen. Here we go. So Bill Murray again, out to bat. He's perfectly zen, perfectly external and internally balanced. And up at the pitcher's mound.
Maternally balanced.
Who else but svelte John Candy. And he's got a ball.
Is it a bowling ball?
It's a plane. It's a train. It's an automobile. He goes to throw the ball, and Bill hits it, and it's going on a line drive past first baseman. First baseman dives, misses it. It's going, and then boom, it hits all the pins down. That's a strike for Bill Murray. A good strike, though, not a bad strike. There's two strikes, as we know.
So he struck out?
Yes, but good strikeout.
But he struck out on the pins.
Yes, struck out on the pins. 3-run homer.
Man, you've never watched a game of baseball in your life.
Okay, that's only half true.
Here we go. Here's wacky fact number three. Bill Murray tested for the role of Sully.
What?
You know, the movie where he crashes the airplane in the Hudson River. No, I'm totally joking. He tested for the role of Sully Sullivan from Monsters, Inc. But when the studio was trying to offer him the role, he was MIA.
What?
They left messages on his 800 number, but when no response came back, they took that as him saying no.
No way. That's even better, because I also know that originally they wanted him... Like him and a couple other guys like Steve Martin to be the voice of Buzz in Toy Story.
Wait. I think we have to play that back. I think I said Sully Sullenberg.
No, you said Sullivan. Sully Sullivan? Like the big blue horned monster.
Sully Sullivan? Did I say that? I thought I said Sully Sullenberg, which is the name of the guy who
Look,
crashed
everyone
on the
knows who the big blue monster in Monsters, Inc. is. Let's get back to why this is double wacky. Double wacky because he freaking turned down... Buzz Lightyear also.
Yes.
They were like, hey, do you want to be Buzz Lightyear? You could audition. We could probably give you the part. We kind of want you to be Buzz Lightyear. And he's like, nah, not a chance. There's no money in that. What is this, animation? Not going to work. Total failure. I missed the ball. But that's even worse on Monsters, Inc. because he auditioned for it. Going, whew, not going to drop the ball on this one. Animation is where the money is. And then... Didn't pick up his call because he was in the Swiss Alps or something.
He was busy bartending.
Busy reading poetry to a construction crew. Oh my gosh. All right. So this is a
pretty classic.
Mike Wazowski up to bat. And you got Bill Murray morph suit reversed up on
the ping pong balls are in the inside.
Yeah. But like he's on the pitcher's mound. That's why it's
okay,
reversed.
Okay. Yeah. I got it.
So he throws the ball and Mike Wazowski. Hits it, boom, hits it, it's going, and then, oh no, what's this? John Candy back again with Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, choo-choo, snags the ball, instant out for Mike Wazowski. So you know who wins the game? Bill Murray, a.k.a. you, Ben, a.k.a. that was very wacky.
Thank you so much, wacky.
Harryhausens.
Oh, I just... That's a good
Now
mic.
I can't get Mike Wazowski out of my head.
Sure.
I can't believe I was on a commercial! I'm done with that.
Shmoopy. Wait, what does he call his girlfriend?
Shmoopsie Poo.
Yeah. Shmoopy is from Seinfeld. All right. Well, that means that the wacky facts are done. We're going to lay them to rest.
Thank God.
Not forever, though. Come back next week. This time, it's hashtag whale mail of the week.
All righty.
RJ, can you read this one?
Which question do you want me to answer?
Both.
Yes and yes. This email reads, great episodes. Every time I see Why Am I Laughing and Why Is X Funny, I'm fascinated. Also, every time I'm reminded of the comic I saw live maybe 12 years ago at the Comedy Store. Oh. The prior comics told the audience this guy was coming up and to give him a chance when he took the stage, but he proceeded to insult the crowd, America, and everyone. Not in that clever or sparkly way that insult comics tend to work, but more in the angry, deeply insightful, and hurtful way that's definitely not traditionally funny. At least that's how I remember it. Hey, I was only one laughing out of pain, realization, and awe, I think. And he pointed to me and said, that guy gets it. Other people encouraged him to leave the establishment and find a new job. He must have. But not only did I never hear of him again, I can't even dig up his name now. OMG, any chance you know who this is? I desperately want to follow up. He really stuck with me. Daviticus. That's this guy's name. That's awesome. But, you know, I'm pretty sure we know who this is. Ben, you got kicked out of the Comedy Store like a couple years ago, right?
I'd say about 12 years ago.
Yeah. So problem solved, Daviticus. We found your man. He, very offensive.
Just... I just came out guns blazing, just pure upset.
Guns blazing with a couple of dead baby puke jokes. And, well, you know what? That'll get you kicked out of any establishment here in the States.
America.
Yeah, right. United States of Fail America.
Oh, my gosh. Daviticus? If that's how we're supposed to say your name?
I think so. It's like Leviticus, you know, of the Bible.
Yeah.
But with a David.
David. Daviticus, thank you so much for writing in. I really hope we're saying that right. We're just,
if we're totally botching your name, yeah, then I'm so sorry. We failed you as a podcast, and you don't have to listen to us again, and you get your money back.
Oh
so.
My gosh. But this email is detailed.
Yeah.
I love the vivid picture that he paints.
Well,
here.
See, now this is great because him just emailing us, there's a very slim chance that we know who he's talking about.
Yeah.
But now that we're broadcasting this
got
to
it.
The
yes,
interwebs.
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay. Calling all Comedy Store junkies. Like, if you know a
12
guy.
12 years ago.
Yeah, 12 years ago. So we're talking 2004. Like, if you were there, give us an email. Why am I laughing? Why am I laughing pod at gmail.com.
Yeah.
We're gonna find this guy and we're gonna bring him on the show and we're gonna make him tell us his most offensive joke.
But yeah, I love this. Clearly Daviticus, I just love his name. Daviticus is just listened to our offensive comedy episode.
Yes.
And this has sparked him right back to 12 years ago. He remembers it like it was yesterday. And this, it's hard to tell. Did he enjoy this guy?
I don't think so.
Okay, but yeah,
I don't think that's a mystery at all.
He was laughing out of pain, and the guy said, "This guy gets it." But he's like, he's so driven to find this guy. That's why I'm confused.
Because you know what? Negative memories stick to you like Velcro. It takes at least 3 seconds for positive memories to imprint on your mind. That's a free
okay,
fact.
Science,
this is a
Mike.
Free podcast, everyone. You just learned some real knowledge. Look it up right now. Negative memories. You're like, wow, gosh, I have just so many friends are so mean. Think of one nice thing. It's so much harder to do.
Okay, we got it. But Daviticus, I love your enthusiasm to find this guy. Again, if you're out there and you're this guy or you know this guy, have him email us in and we'll connect him with Daviticus.
Honestly, we're 2 for 2 on our whale spiracies so far. So, you know, let's just keep the punches rolling.
Oh my gosh.
I'm stoked on this mystery.
Well, RJ, if Daviticus or anyone else wants to find us, what are they going to do?
Well, you can always find our podcast on the iTunes podcast app, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher. Also, We're part of the Pod Tyrant Network, so go to podtyrant.com or geektyrant.com, where you can hear more awesome podcasts about movies, TV shows, popular culture, words of the day, weird comedians that were kicked out of a club 12 years ago. There's all kinds of podcasts for you there.
Yeah, and then also Geek Tyrant, it's got just these amazing stories, trailers that dropped 12 seconds ago, images, artwork. It's just everything you need to be a geek.
It's so true.
Or a tyrant.
Whoa.
That's the other half of the
That's your website. Choice, whalers.
Do you want to be a geek or a world-dominating tyrant? Or how about both?
Why not both? You want to be a geek or a tyrant? Choose your own adventure.
All right, RJ, if people want to follow us on Twitter, what do they do?
Our Twitter page is at WhalePod. Our Facebook page is Why Am I Laughing? And again, don't forget to email us at whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. The t-shirt contest is still going on. Rate us on iTunes. Send us an email. We send you a shirt. It's as easy as that.
Classic. If you want to follow RJ on the Twitterverse, you go to Rodolfo the Brown.
And if you want to find Ben at Twitter, you can find him at Sigourney Weaver Fan Club 2016. Wow, I really had to stretch for that
one. I made
it
last year. thanks again for tuning in.
That's a great caveat. I made it last year.
That's part of the Twitter handle.
Yeah.
Thank you so much again for listening to this episode. Thank you, Ben Sound, for providing our theme music. You're a good friend of the podcast, even though we've never met you. You're a good guy.
Isn't it you?
Whale Spearcy. Yes, if you want to rate us on iTunes, you get free clothes, so there's no harm in that. And you can come back every Wednesday for a new episode. Next week, we're doing, in the vein of Michael Scott, another character study.
Ooh.
This time, we're focusing our pod eyes on Cosmo Kramer of Seinfeld America.
The Ass Man.
He is the Ass Man.
Ugh, I can't wait. We're going to have some real laughs on that.
Oh, absolutely.
The worst part is you won't be able to see me doing all of the like shaking my hand and
for
like
sure.
Waving my head around like a crazy person.
But you got to check us out next week to find that. And we will leave you with Comedy Is All About.
That's so good.
Timing?
Yeah.